An attack assumed to be Israel's doing that's partly crippled Iran's uranium enrichment capacity is now casting a shadow over important nuclear negotiations resuming in Vienna tonight. The Biden administration has just begun its effort to rekindle a foundering international agreement that had aimed to limit Iran's nuclear program. Donald Trump walked away from that agreement. Iran then steadily increased uranium enrichment, so the Trump administration slapped increasingly tough sanctions on the Islamic Republic. The US wants the deal back on track. Iran wants sanctions lifted. But after the attack on the Natanz plant, Tehran is threatening retaliation. Well, Professor Mehrzad Borogherdi is director of the School of Public and International Affairs at Virginia Tech in the United States. I asked him first what impact the attack would have on Iran's enriched uranium production.
It's not quite clear exactly what has happened, but apparently whatever it was, it had to do with disrupting the electricity grid at this sort of most secretive and most important nuclear site for the Iranian government. So I think in the days to come, we will have more explanation from the Iranians in terms of exactly what transpired. But as we know, this is the second such major attack on this site over the last 10 months. And this place was also targeted 10 years ago when that famous Stuxnet virus that US and Israel jointly produced to disrupt Iran's nuclear work was made operational.
And how much of a setback do you think it is to Iran's nuclear program, given that we're still trying to work out exactly what's happened there?
Well, these sites, the Natanz site, the Iranian Atomic Energy Committee was saying that they had installed generation 5 and 6 of these centrifuges that are more advanced. By the terms of the nuclear deal, JCPOA agreement, Iran was only to install the first generation, but the installation of these more modern centrifuges basically meant that they could produce, more quickly and at a higher quantity the enriched uranium that they needed. Now, even assuming that this was the most catastrophic thing for the Iranians, still I'm not sure that it's going to change much, in the sense that already the International Atomic Energy Commission has mentioned that Iran has produced much more than it was expected. The ceiling was something around 17 kilograms, and apparently Iran already had 50 kilograms of enriched uranium.
Now, the timing here is notable for this attack, isn't it? The very difficult talks to try to reconstitute the Iran nuclear deal are underway in Vienna. The new US President Joe Biden wants to get back in where Donald Trump pulled the US out. Also, the new US Defense Secretary was in Israel as this happened. Now, we don't know that Israel did this, but what's your best assessment of who's responsible and the timing here?
Yeah. Well, considering the closeness of Israeli newspapers to the intelligence services there, which historically has been the case, already we are hearing from many of these Israeli newspapers that the Mossad was involved in planning this event. So I think there is really no doubt that the Israelis were behind it. The White House has already announced, the spokesperson, that the U.S. had nothing to do with this. I think the timing was also very deliberate. Of course, it coincides as the plane of the U.S. Secretary of Defense is landing in Israel, and therefore, you sort of force him to confront a fait accompli, right, and try to extract, concessions from them, which I think, we saw in the new joint news conference that Secretary Austin had with Benjamin Netanyahu in terms of, supporting one another and being able to prevent Iran from ever becoming a nuclear state in that sense. So I think the timing, even though, of course, this type of things needs a lot of planning, I think they had set their eyes on this day for two occasions. One, of course, was the Secretary Austin's trip. The other one was that the day before, Iran had declared with much fanfare that they were celebrating the nuclear accomplishments of the country, and this was the actual day to celebrate it the day before. So it becomes really quite embarrassing for Iran to have to endure something like this a day after their, you know, PR campaign.
Mm. Difficult for the United States too, isn't it, given the nuclear talks and the attempt to get that nuclear deal back on track. What do you think it means for those talks?
Right. So I think, you know, what we are seeing is Israel really trying to insert itself into those negotiations going on in Vienna by playing sort of a role of a spoiler. And I think this is where alarm bells, you know, need to go up, not only in Washington, but also in European capitals. Because, you know, if they allow Israel to sort of call the shots on this issue, whatever gets signed in Vienna is not really going to mean much at the end of the day. So perhaps, you know, behind the scene, what we're going to see is a lot of high-level discussions now taking place between the American government and the Israelis to perhaps, you know, put a stop to these type of attacks for the time being, to see what type of deal they can agree to. The other thing that really gets worrisome is the following. Iran will have, you know, a presidential election in 2.5 months, and already the folks who have thrown their hats into the race are by and large, you know, former members of the Revolutionary Guard. So they are hardliners. And the expectation is that one of these hardliners is going to win. So if you do not have an agreement come, you know, middle of June, then we will be looking at a scenario whereby the Iranian position is going to harden. And who knows when we will get an actual agreement and according to what terms, right? I mean, right now the U.S. is sort of backtracking on the earlier claims that it was going to discuss not just the nuclear stuff, but the missiles and Iran's regional activities right now. But I think it's becoming crystal clear to the Biden administration that this is a bit of a wishful thinking, and that if there is going to be a start, it has to be on the nuclear issue and only on that issue, you know, for the time being. And the others you can try to tackle, you know, after a while, if there is enough of a goodwill between the two parts. Otherwise, you know, it takes two to tango, and the U.S. cannot unilaterally determine the terms of that negotiation.
So a very sort of tense moment, and that difficult timeline with Iran's election, as you say. Iran's foreign minister has also threatened retaliation. I guess in a sense that's not unexpected as a statement in response to this. But what are the risks of escalation here?
Well, you know, my assessment is that the last thing Iran wants is any type of war with Israel, right? That is what the Supreme Leader is most worried about, because he realizes quite well, not only Iran does not have the military or the technological capabilities to withstand the confrontation with Israel, but also, you know, they do not have the economic means for any type of, you know, war. And as such, you know, he's trying to avoid that. Now, and despite the empty rhetorics, etc., about retaliation, I think the cooler minds are going to prevail, and they are going to realize that, you know, they should not fall victim to this Israeli provocation, that the nuclear talks in Vienna are much more important than necessarily wanting to retaliate for what Israel, you know, has done. I mean, you see, from Tehran's perspective, they consider it something to be, if it's something that is below the threshold of pain, you know, you can live with it, right? And try to concentrate on the big prize here. We see that Israelis are almost every other day are bombing Iranian forces in Syria, but there is really no retaliation by Iran because, again, of this fear about, you know, what this might entail. But on the other hand, you see when it comes to attacking ships, that it's a tit-for-tat policy, and yet neither side really is aiming to sink the other country's ships, but rather, you know, put some small mines, etc., to damage them so that they can deliver a message to one another that we have this type of, you know, capability. So it really is important. How do you define the threshold of pain? And at one point, Iran might decide, you know, enough is enough, and we need to do something more drastic to prevent the Israelis from continuing with this type of attacks.
Dr. Borogiardi, very good to have your analysis. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Professor Merzad Borogiardi, he's from Virginia Tech.